¿Quién somos? Covenant Salud y Comportamientos comenzó en 2011 y somos el líder de la carrera de salud. Y damos ayudas a veteranos y servicios activos y familias. Nuestra práctica comenzó en St. Louis, Missouri y ha expandido a Hawaii, California, los pasados 6 años. Nos gustaría trabajar con ustedes para ayudarles a tener éxito personal y profesional.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Covenant Behavior Health's podcast. Today we have a very special guest, and I'm excited to bring to our table Yesenia, who is a associate professional counselor, ABA educator, special ed educator. I'll let her talk a little bit about herself when we bring her to the table, but we're looking forward to sharing with her. Right now, I want to invite you to visit our website at www.covenantbehaviorhealth.org, where you can find all of the latest podcasts, all of our current events that are now being conducted online because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So we're still hosting our High Desert Professional Counselors groups. They are the second Saturday of each month from 9 until 11. You can register online. We'll send you the Zoom link, and you can join those trainings at that particular time. Right now, again, I want to bring to the table Yesenia, and I'll have her tell you a little bit about herself. Yesenia, hello and welcome to our podcast. So tell me a little bit about you, what's your name, your credentials, and where did you come from?
Thank you for having me. First off, I'm excited to be here. I was a teacher for over 15 years, actually many different school districts from Compton to San Mateo City Unified School District, and worked with many different children of all walks of life from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade. I also was a school counselor, and as a school counselor, I went into that field because I really wanted to help students. And being in that field, I realized it was more about scheduling and, you know, getting them the scholarship that they needed and getting them to their next venture in life. And that's kind of not what I really wanted to focus on. So I went in and worked on another master's to focus on clinical therapy, and also as an ABA behavior analyst, because studying behaviors helps out so many people in all walks of life, and it just makes you a better human being, to be honest.
Yeah, if you are an educator already, you're already in this field. I mean, as a behavior health provider, as a mental health provider, you are educating people. So, and it's all about behavior. You know, I think half of what we face in life can be summed up in two stages. First stage would be we will have some mental health issues, but then the other 50% of those are going to be behavior health issues, more behavior issues. So those are two totally different things. We talk about the COVID-19 pandemic, for example. People think that this is a mental health issue. This is not a mental health issue. This is a behavior health issue, is what this is. And so, wow, that is an impressive background. And that's one of the reasons why we were so excited when you came and interviewed to have you on board. We've had a combination of marriage and family therapists with ABA backgrounds in the past, and they've always worked so well with what we do. Because I would say probably, again, 50% of what we do is behavior health. I mean, even when we talk about the mental health issues, there are behavioral components to that. Talk about depression. If we can get people to change the way they think and the things that they do, we can combat that depression, that anxiety. And so having somebody who has a background in ABA, again, is awesome, and we are excited again to have you on our team. How long have you been here now? It's been
about 5 months.
Okay, all right. It's like it's been longer than that.
I know.
I feel like you came at the I feel like you came at the summer, the end of the summer. Was it not the end of the summer, or was it the fall that you came?
In fall.
It was in the fall. Wow. It feels like you've been here a long time. You've really integrated and become a big part of who we are as Covenant Behavioral Health. So, well, thank you again. I can't say that enough. Let's see here. What's one of the common myths that you've heard about behavior health or mental health counseling? What's one of the common myths?
One of the biggest things, I used to work at a crisis residential treatment, and when I would talk to my family and friends, they would always say, oh, you work with the crazy people. And it's like, no, they're not crazy. Even though it's a residential treatment, it could be any of us that goes into a crisis and would need these services to help us. I had people from all walks of life, from a divorce to some type of trauma, a sexual assault, a job loss, like what we're seeing right now. And, you know, people would go into a crisis and they would, it's, you know, you have to sign up for the residential treatment. We can't hold you in there, but it's really those myths that you have to be crazy. No, it's just average people like me and you.
Yeah. We all at some particular point need a little extra help. And thank God for people like you and I who will be there to help people because, matter of fact, just talking here, and I know this is not a faith-based podcast, but there is, Paul wrote in the Christian Bible, thank God, because had it not been for the grace of God, there go I. I mean, I could have been right there in the same shoes as that other person who was in need of help. And so we just never know, you know, it doesn't take much for one of us to, you know, experience loss after loss, a traumatic event. And then there's this break in reality. And now, you know, you're suffering from psychosis, depression, anxiety, complex trauma. So it can, yeah, no, it's not just for crazy people. It's for smart people, too. Smart people, too. You have to know you need help and then go and get it.
And that's actually the smarter people, if you really think about it, right? People that are self-aware. I am not running at 100% where I need to be, and I need that additional help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People that walk into your office and say, you know what? I'm not okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at them going, well, you look okay to me, so what's going on?
Right.
And then they start talking, and they're like, I'm okay. You're not okay. You're right, you're not okay. Yeah, that's absolutely true. So people who have that insight is pretty incredible. And then not only just having that insight, but then knowing what to do with it.
Absolutely.
So let's see here. What advice would you give somebody who was wanting to enter into this field? And I want you to think about, like, when you were in this field, what's something that you wish you had known before you came into this field?
I think as a Latina and a first generation, first off, mental health we don't talk about. It's very taboo. And again, it's quote unquote for the crazy people. And so, you know, our mind frame being raised here as first generation, it's like only the intelligent people that get into the field. And I never thought that I would be in this field. But like I told you, being a school counselor and a school teacher, we saw those behavior patterns. We knew that something was going on in the classroom, which motivated me to get into mental health, that no, you don't have to be like super smart. It's all about studying and wanting that hunger for learning. And I would tell somebody, you know, do the research, get into the field. There's people that are dying to see a therapist that look like you or me, you know, that can connect with them, that comes from poverty, that comes from trauma, that they can connect and empathize. And so, I mean, the doors are wide open. We want you to come into our field and we would open you with open arms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What are some of the resources that have helped you along this journey? Like, what are some of the things that you tapped into, that you found, that somebody gave you?
I think really just, again, just seeking out knowledge. When I went into my master's program, you know, I was like, I'm going to be a school counselor. And when I went into the field and it, like I said, it was more career oriented, I thought to myself, no, I really want to help these kids that are in dire need and don't trust other adults. I want to be that other adult that they can go to if they are seeking help. And the resourcing is just, you know, thinking about outside the box. Who else can I talk to? Who would want to talk to me? You know, being that adult that I needed when I was a kid.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So What do you wish you would have known when you first started out?
That it's really not that hard. And what I mean by that is when you become passionate about something you love, it no longer is hard. Like the researching, helping patients, it becomes really easy because you're so invested in them getting back to baseline that you want to help them out, that you're going to look for books that might help them out in this adventure that they're on of healing. And like I said, really, it's knowing that it's really not that hard, that if it's your passion, it's going to come easy.
Yeah, yeah. I would have to agree with that. I think that when they say, you know, once you find your passion, you never have to work another day, you know. And I would agree that when you are passionate about something, it is a joy. It gives you pleasure. It's recharging for you to do that instead of it being a drudgery or something that you have to do, like clock in and clock out. And do something that you just to earn a living or just to get a paycheck. But when you are passionate about something, it does appear to come a lot easier. Yeah. So I often say that there is something that brings us to this field. Psychiatrists, nurses, behavioral health providers, there's something that brings us to this field. And typically, you know, it can be anything from the loss of a parent to a traumatic event or us watching a family member with mental illness or something like that that brings us to the field. And I'm quite sure there are some people that come, you know, who may not have experienced anything like that. But I think on more of the average, there is something that brings us to this field. So with that being said, tell me a little bit about what made you want to go and be a school teacher and then transition from being a school teacher to, and I think you answered that a little bit, but can you elaborate a little bit more on why you chose this profession?
I think being raised in poverty and, you know, trying to figure out our next meal and, you know, like you said, going into becoming a teacher and seeing these behavior patterns, I was able to also understand that my traumatic childhood, also I had certain behavior patterns, you know, instead of the fight, flight, freeze mechanism. And staying in an unhealthy relationship, marriage for many years, and thinking that I could possibly save someone. And so that's kind of what made me venture in. And I really went into the process of let me help him heal. And the reality is, as I was trying to save him, I saved myself. And that was the best investment that I could give myself. Not just a piece of paper that it's a master's, but my freedom that I can't put a price
on. Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. So tell me, what is unique about your skills that have helped you to become so successful? I mean, you have several master's degrees, not just one. And I'm telling you, and I'm envious that you have the ABA background, the applied behavior analysis, helping people deal with behavior. And I am envious of that. So what do you think your unique skill has helped those stuff?
Honestly, all degrees aside is me being real, me being able to connect with people. I don't put myself on a pedestal because of commas behind my name. It's really to understand where a patient's at and getting them to their goal. And I think people can see that I am authentic and I am invested the minute they walk into my office, that I want to get them back to where they used to be.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. So let me lighten up the interview a little bit here. Let me ask you, if you had one superpower, what would that be?
Let's see. I would be invisible.
Invisible.
Just because I am so passionate. Sometimes, you know, we ask her clients, like, are you doing this? Are you doing that? You know, and to keep them on a healthy schedule and things like that. And if I could just be a fly on the wall or invisible going to their environment, are they following through? Are they doing these coping skills? And really, even as a mother, like, I wonder, you know, I respect my children. And yes, if they need space, they know how to verbalize it. But sometimes I just want to sit in there invisibly and see what they're saying under their breath.
You know what? That's one of the unique dilemmas that we are facing right now with the COVID-19 outbreak pandemic, is that we have to close our office to the public. And so now we're only seeing patients by video and by telephone. And so seeing patients by video gives us some insight into their home environments. You know, we get a chance to see, you know, they're probably listening going, that's what they're doing. They're analyzing where we are, what our houses look like. But we get a chance to see them in their natural environment. And as behavioral health providers, we study behavior. That's what we are, behavior is. And we study behavior is what we do. So getting a chance to see people, that's a pretty good, I'd never thought about that superpower, though, to be visible to see if patients are following through. Because I always tell patients, I had a patient last week, and she was saying, you know, with this pandemic, I'm really not doing well right now, Dr. Wilson. I'm really not doing well. And I'm thinking to myself, well, okay, are you practicing stop? Are you stopping, taking a deep breath, observing where you are, pulling back, putting some perspective to it? It's like, she's like, no. I go, well, see, yo, that's the reason why I tell you to do that stuff, though. You do that when you don't need it, so that right. when you do need it, it's easy to deploy. But when you start to feel good and then you just stop doing it, like, no, this got to become a second nature to you, operating within your wise mind. So I think it would be cool to see people if they're actually following through with the homework that we give them, the follow-up that we ask them to participate in. Yeah, when they leave. So that's a good idea. All right. So if you were a type of food, what would that food be if you were a type of food?
Well, that's easy. Yeah. Number one, I live in California. Uh-huh. And number two, my Mexican background. So
so which one? Which dish? Which dish would it be?
Let's see. Probably like a chile relleno. And a chile relleno, I don't know if you know, but it's a chile that has the egg batter around. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is it looks sweet, like not like that you would not be like you wouldn't bite it into it and it would be spicy, right? Because you see the egg batter. But then you cut it and it's a chile and I'm spicy inside. But then there's all this cheese like that goos out. Ooh. And I'm just like a lover. I'm not a fighter.
Oh. Yeah. That sounds like a stuffed jalapeno.
Exactly. But it's okay. So good. Leave all it with right. the seeds in though.
Yeah.
I'm still spicy.
You got it. Okay. So then let's talk a little bit about your particular patient population. Like, who do you like to work with? Who is there a particular group of men, women, children? Couples, like, who do you have a passion for?
To be honest, I know this sounds a little crazy, Dr. Wilson, but I like working with everybody. But particular, of course, I love working with couples because I love separating them so they can understand their behavior patterns and what when I bring them back together, how they trigger each other and how learning a love language is to understand their trauma and not re-traumatizing them. And that's a love language all by itself. And children as well. I mean, I was a teacher for many years, so it just comes very natural when I talk to them or even do a Zoom meeting. I just go into the teacher face and I even notice like my voice changes and I become really soft with kids and mm-hmm. very playful. And I feel like kids are so much more easier to be honest. Mm-hmm. Versus adult, and so they will tell you, I really like you. Versus adults, they might smile, but they might not come back.
Yes, or they'll go out and make an appointment and not show up.
Yeah, cancel that's last minute.
One. That's a good one, too. Yes, So then, what are some of your hobbies? Like, how do you when you leave TBH? Like, how do you debrief? What's some of the things you like
Honestly, I love spending time with my family. And that could be many things. And we meet up weekly, my family and I, were pretty close. And so we do family fun night. And so, and that's midweek, like on a Wednesday, and we'll play games together and we'll have, of course, awesome food. And and then on the weekend, my family and I will go for a hike. We'll do something more nature. We're not really about like, oh, let's go to a theme park. We do more things where we can talk together and kind of just gain that trust throughout the week. We're so busy. My kids play sports mm-hmm. and they go to school. They're in honors and things like that. And just trying to regroup. What is going on with us? So I always know, but I really get to know what's going on by the week.
Yeah. Yeah. It is when you are a good parent, I think you want to be involved in your children's lives. You want to know what's going on. You want to make that connection with them. And the world that we live in today, I mean, just take California, for example, where there has to be anywhere from a 3 to 4 income coming in order to live in California. You're talking about living comfortable or anything. Just live in California, just to
survive.
Live in California,
survive.
And to survive in a home, you need 3 to 4 incomes coming in. The statistics came out last year showing that it was taking 3 families, multi-generation families,
yeah.
in order to maintain, to buy a house in California. So it's so expensive. So what I'm trying to say is that, so we're all working, you know, and working hard to try to survive. And so that takes away from that ability to spend that good quality time with your children. And so you really have to try to prioritize and to treat everything and everybody but your children, you know, the people that are important, your spouse and your children. And so I would agree that trying to find that time with kids and get that, you know, going for nature walks and
just that engagement, yeah. you know, engaging with them. It doesn't have to be difficult, because if you ask a kid, how was your day? I have teenagers at home, so I have to make it interesting. Like, if I were to give you a spaceship and you could put anybody inside of it and send them off to space, who would it be? And then they're like, oh my gosh, mom, it's this person, mm-hmm. because they got on my nerves. And then now I understand what happened during third period. And so I make it funny, and they don't even think about it, that I'm trying to get information, but now I hooked them in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that concludes our interview for today. We've had Yesenia, who is an associate professional counselor, a special education teacher, and ABA therapist with us. She is one of our providers here on staff with Covenant Behavior Health, doing great work. We are so happy to have her be a part of our team. If you'd like more information about what we do here and who we are, I want to invite you to visit our website at www.covenantbehaviorhealth.org. Instagram, you can find us at Disrupting Healthcare. On Facebook, you can find us at Covenant Counseling or Covenant Behavior Health. On Twitter, you can find us under Covenant C. That's COVENANTC. Again, thank you, and signing off from Covenant Behavior Health, this is Dr. Wilson.